We're talking here about Rav Moshe on a very, very important issue, and it's one that I think, again, we're only talking about Rav Moshe this morning, and it's one that relates to a lot of issues that hopefully people are thinking about, and it's one perspective. A lot of Rav Moshe writes here is Lav Dafka. A lot of these things are debates. A lot of these things are machloksim, which is what makes it exciting. But a lot of Rav Moshe writes here is definitely, I think, classic him, and it tells us a lot about who he was. There are things here, again, that different people argued with, some from the right and some from the left of Rav Moshe. But this stuff is really, really important. I want to start like this. We're speaking this morning about Rav Moshe on pure Torah hashkafos, what it means to be influenced only by Torah, and we're about the role of secular studies and things like that. What's defined as like pure Torah hashkafos, and what role the secular world and secular studies really, really take. So a little bit of background is definitely important. Many have noted, Rav Moshe is living for, again, a lot of his life as a postik on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Rav Moshe is a person that's dealing with a lot of shilas that from a lot of different realms. He's dealing with shilas in the realm of medical ethics. Rav Moshe is one of the more influential postkim in the world of medical ethics, or medical halacha, probably to say it more accurately, at least from his perspective. Rav Moshe is a person that's dealing with lots of shilas about workplace halacha. A lot of things Rav Moshe talks about relate to that. So Rav Moshe is definitely a posig that is functioning within a society. He's not a person who is in denial of the fact that there are trends going on in the world. Rav Moshe is aware of those trends. We spoke about Rav Moshe last week on issues relating to women's issues. Rav Moshe also, we did not speak about it last week, but Rav Moshe on bas mitzvahs, Rav Moshe, he's dealing with a lot of newer questions that are coming up in his time, and he knows he lives in a world, and part of living in a world undoubtedly means being able to know that Torah has what to say about things that are going on in the world, and the Torah has what to say about people who are working, and people who are taking tests, and people that are going to school. Rav Moshe has what to say about it. And that's part of his greatness, is that we really know what he thinks about so many different issues. There is one of the more famous tshuvas of Rav Moshe, of which he was attacked for very strongly by the Satmar Rebbe and others, was a tshuva about artificial insemination. There was, if you have a husband who's unable, for whatever reason, to impregnate his wife, and the shaila was, could you take sperm from a non-Jewish donor and impregnate a woman as a result? So Rav Moshe thought that at least in certain circumstances that would be okay, and the world of Satmar was not that happy with Rav Moshe at all. There was a person who wrote a very, very harsh form of rebuke, a harsh letter of tochacha to Rav Moshe, you know, arguing with Rav Moshe and arguing that, you know, we were saying it's ridiculous and it's wrong. I think one of the things he wrote was that, you know, obviously you're influenced by like secular influences to even want to come to this conclusion. Now, the person who wrote this letter, I believe they say, I didn't have the time to double check this, but I believe he's the person who Stam forged a lot of letters. He was like a little bit of a shady kind of guy. Babich Rebbe caught him, Dr. Mark Spear points out, I think it's the right person, at least forging letters of the Rugachever, and the Rebbe wrote back to him like, I don't know what you're talking about, like this is just not the Rugachever. I think the Rebbe even said at one point, like, I'm so confident it's not the Rugachever style that if the Rugachever Bechvodu V'atzmo would come in and say, I wrote that, I would say, no, you didn't. You know, like, this is not. So the guy who wrote it was a person whose lines of, say, of respect were not necessarily as clear. So he wrote to Rav Moshe as follows. There's a lot of mussar going on in your letter. I got that. So Rav Moshe as follows. This is a very famous line in the Gersh Moshe. It's not about the issue itself, but it's a very famous line. He says, I don't think I did anything wrong at all. El Torah's MS, me divrei Rabbi Sidney Harvey Shonim. I think what I said is pasha, true. V'ha irur shakvot rasu al zeba, me'ashkafo shebaim, mi'adiyas deos chitzonios. You're claiming that I've been influenced, mashpiyim, afa gedolim, b'chachma, lahav, mitzvah. You're blaming me that there are external, secular influences impacting my Torah. Says Rav Moshe, chas v'shalom. V'ani bar Hashem she'eni lo mehem, v'lo mehamonam. V'cho hashkafasi, who rock miadias haTorah, belishum taruvos miadios chitzonios. Says Rav Moshe, my entire hashkafa I view as pure Torah. As pure Torah. I'm not trying to bring in secular influences to enhance, to alter, to give any increase. My hashkafa is pure Torah, so says Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a person, that's what he was trying to get. That's very different in a certain sense than a classic, obviously, like Torah Umada kind of a perspective, where you're arguing, again, there are those who argue sacrificial tithes are fine as far as Parnassah goes, but in the real Torah Umada way of saying it, in the Rabbi Lam and Lichtenstein and certainly elements of Salvechik, where you're going to speak about sacrificial tithes being something which is not going to trump Torah at all. It's not Mada U Torah, but it's that I can be able to have Hashkafa, which is in a certain sense informed by certain modern realities. Now, how far any of those people would really go is important, but you'd be surprised to find a line like this by Ravaron Lichtenstein. For Ravaron to say, like, Kol Hashkafa Si is Rak Midyas HaTorah without anything from the outside, we would at least be surprised by that. But Moshe here is articulating a pure Torah kind of Hashkafa. I want to share with you one of the more famous tshuvas of Rav Moshe, for which on this one he got critiqued, not as much by Satmar, but Dafka. This is the gauze of Moshe, is that he takes sides on things. But some academics are a little bit upset, and it's an amazingly well-known tshuva. There was a person, I think Dr. Lang was the name, who found in the 1970s, I believe, he wanted to publicize a manuscript. Many of us may know that there were a lot of Sfarim from the times of the Rishonim that were not published, that we always had access to, but they found manuscripts, and people wanted to put out manuscripts of different Rishonim. So Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, very well known, one of the great Rishonim, Yehuda HaChassid, they found a manuscript, they attributed to Yehuda HaChassid to his papers on Chumash. The person who wanted to put it out showed it to the local Rav. Local Rav read it, and he said, I think there are some things in these tshuvas that seem to me, at least, to be heretical. And they wrote to different gedolim. So is this commentary on Chumash, is considered to be heretical? Is it considered to be kfira? What were some of the issues that came up as far as kfira goes? There's one piece that relates to homosexuality, which is important, but not for now. Some of it has to do with as follows, and if any of us end up going to a university where you have like an intro to Bible kind of class, go to YU or something like that, you'll be aware of some of this stuff. But the Ibn Ezra happens to think a little bit, and Yehuda HaChassid has this idea that there are certain psukim. This is very much not the mainstream approach, certainly they were brought up with, or the one that the Rambam embraces, where we're brought up that we assume that the entire Torah we have is a Torah that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. It all comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. The only potential exception that we know of is the Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Masechet Bava Basra. That the last Shmona Psukim Shebet Torah may have been written by Yoshua because it describes Moshe's death. So Gemara's Machlokas, did Moshe write it B'dem, or Moshe wrote it with tears, or did Yoshua write it La'achar, or is Yoshua the one who wrote those last eight Psukim in Chumash? But other than that, we assume the entire Torah comes directly from the Ribono Sha'olam to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's it. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid happens to maintain in that Perush on Chumash that there were certain Psukim here or there that are post-Mosaic additions, I believe is how you say it. Those are additions to Chumash that were added post the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. A pasuk here, a pasuk there. The Ibn Ezra has elements of it also. Moshe thinks, again, that's part of what was bothering things. On the homosexuality front, of Moshe was bothered. Yehuda HaChassid tries to rationalize, so why is there an issue of homosexuality? Doesn't take it for granted. It's a toeva, tries to give explanations for it. So Moshe thinks that it must be that this commentary of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is a forgery. It is not really a commentary of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid at all. That these things, it's divrei kfira mamish. It's not really pure Torah. And if Moshe says, you really can't work with this at all, the Sefer should not at all be published. Sefer gets published anyway. Rav Eliashib and Shlomo Zalman get involved in it. The part of the machlokes is that some of the gedolim are comfortable publishing the Sefer, as long as you take out those problematic passages. Rav Moshe is much more uncomfortable with that. Rav Moshe says, well, these are the things that we know. We've seen those things. If you go through the whole papers, you may find more problematic things. In fact, you have a couple of things that are problematic. Is Megala and the whole state problematic? There's no way it comes from Rav Yehuda HaChassid. Rav Moshe writes, well, someone showed me, I don't have the tshuva here. It's in Yoredeya Gimel Kuf Yedaleh. Rav Moshe writes, someone showed me a sefer of Rav Menachem Tzioni. He was a Kabbalist who wrote similar things. He said, I don't even know who that person is, and maybe he, or we don't really know exactly who he is, and maybe he just copied it from some manuscript. But Rav Moshe assumes, even some of these things, when you talk about pure Hashkafa, Rav Moshe is very, whereas other, Rav Moshe writes, it must have been a forgery. There's no way that he really wrote this. The tshuva, which we released, it's a sefer which we should not publish. The sefer was published. It was published, at least in one of the editions, missing those paragraphs, those sections. But it is, many assume it was Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And Rav Moshe, in general, when Rav Moshe happened to disagree with things, so Rav Moshe often would say, we'll see in a second, it must be a Talmud Torah put it in. And Rav Moshe, at times, did this even with Rishonim. In the sefer Mesoris Moshe, which is Rav Moshe, which is when Mordechai Tendler, Moshe's grandson, Sefer, where he collects things about Rav Moshe, I think it's at home for now. But Rav Moshe does it at times with a Rashbam on Chumash, with a Rashbam on the Akedah. He does it with a couple of Rambans al HaTorah. Rav Moshe in general is very nervous. This is Stam and Chuk Macholgas. All these new manuscripts. The Chazon Ish was not into using these new manuscripts. You have a new manuscript of a Rishon with a different girsa. Do we care or not care? Chazon Ish opposed it. Rav Moshe was very quick to say, some of these things have kefir in it. So Rav Moshe would say, as a passage in the Ramban, it must be it was added by a Talmud Torah. It must be it was added by a mistaken Talmud. It's not really the Ramban. It must be it was added by a, a Talmud. The Rashbam didn't really say it. And that's part of Moshe did. Rav Moshe is pure Torah Shkafa. And that becomes, much as he embraces in halacha in many ways, Eilu ve'ilu, Dibel Kum Chayim, in elements of pure Torah Shkafa, there are things that Rav Moshe is very comfortable saying should not be said. It must be it's really, additions. Now, there is an interesting question here, some articles about this. Did Rav Moshe really believe that it was, these are all mistakes and additions put in? Or, at times, maybe sometimes he for sure did, but at times it was that a nice way of saying, I think this is totally wrong, not the mainstream approach, we shouldn't work with it, was what you say, by the way, some Talmud Torah put it in. There's an awesome tshuva, Rav Menashe Klein, the Ungvar Rav, has a tshuva, Mishnah Halachos, where he writes about Rav Moshe's tshuva, saying the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid is a forgery, and a Talmud Torah put it in. Rabbi Nachman Klein says Rav Moshe is wrong, and it must be a Talmud Torah put it into Igros Moshe. Because there's no way that Rav Moshe himself really would have written that. It must be a Talmud Torah put it in. Now, obviously, he knows that's not true. What he's trying to do is to make a point, about Talmud Torah. It's a phrase people use sometimes when they want to say that someone, it must be a mistake. They say, oh, it must be a mistake how they wrote it. I remember once Rav Avidan here was giving a shir klali, the Rishiva to Rishiva, I think I was giving a shir klali. So he quoted the pshat of the Rav. It could have been in the Dharm, I think. He quoted the pshat of the Rav, and he was arguing like crazy with the pshat of the Rav. He's saying it's wrong. So he's like, it came from like some notes of like different Talmidim. So it said, it must be Al-Kurk. The only way to answer the kasha is to say that, Rabbi Yashaber didn't write this himself, and the Talmud who wrote that made a mistake because this makes no sense at all. Something like that. It's a move people pull sometimes when they want to argue, but don't want to argue as directly, something like that. But most of them thought some of these were legitimate forgeries. And most of them thought some of these newer manuscripts, you can't trust them. They weren't with Klal Yisrael historically forever. Doing it with the Ramban and the Rashbam is already a much bigger deal. But for Moshe, it's pure Torah Hashkafas, and it's pure Torah Hashkafas. And then there are going to be certain things that some are more open to that Moshe was not going to be open to. That Moshe is not the most closed-minded person at all, but he is going to be much more closed, at least in particular context, where he writes, that like some of these things seem to be, like, if not happy courses, very problematic, and Moshe, again, was quick to be able to deny some of those. Okay, that's Moshe, pure Torah Shkafa. That is the goal of it. Moshe does not have a doctorate from the University of Berlin or from Harvard in literature. This is not who he was, and Rav Moshe wasn't trying to be. You don't have maises, I don't think, as much. Like the sug of maisa back at Dolim, how really they could also perform surgery if they needed to. Like their knowledge of Torah gave them that. Rav Moshe, that's not true. I don't think anyone claims that Rav Moshe was also a hidden, like, surgeon. Rav Moshe was a person who argued, pure, Torah Hashkafa, hafok b'hafok b'hafok b'hafok. Rav Moshe, this is really what it is. Okay. So I want to have pure Torah Shkafa, but to what extent do I want to be able to benefit, learn from, engage in? How do I relate to the secular world? How do I relate to it? Is it ideal to have a profession? Is it ideal to take certain classes? Where do these things fall out? So here we find a couple of different things. Moshe as a posek is pure Torah, but he's pragmatic. He's dealing with realities. Moshe in Igros Moshe Yodeya Beis Kuftes Zayin, but Moshe here is talking about learning and kolal and getting paid for learning, paid for teaching. Some of us may know if you learn some Rambam, the Rambam appears on Mishnah on Avos, the Rambam in So it's a very, very famous Rambam in the Pirkei Avot of Yovel. The Rambam writes, Lo Shevet Levi Bavad, Kol Bayi Olam, anyone that wants can go and dedicate themselves to a life of Kol Kulo Torah. That's one Rambam. The problem is that the Rambam also happens to be opposed to a person accepting tzedakah for Talmud Torah. Most of the things that are being paid for learning. It shouldn't be paid for teaching, paid for learning. The Rambam is opposed to that. Rambam himself worked as a doctor. The Rambam was not into that at all. People taking money for learning, people taking money for teaching Torah. Two interesting mice from the Datilu Umi world. Yitzhak Shilat, who's Rashiva in Ma'alei Adumim now, they say he's a real Rambam person. He translated a lot of the Rambam from Arabic and the Kuzari from Arabic. So Yitzhak Shilat, as Rashiva, they say, will not take a salary for his job teaching in the yeshiva, and therefore he functions as the yeshiva librarian. He's in charge of its Otzer HaSfarim because he holds that's the only way it's going to be mutter for him to be able to get paid. So that's what he does, Rav Yitzhak Shilat. We have a bunch of HaSfarim back there. They say in Maisa, with Tau, if you're holding in the Har HaMor, so Yair is not here. Har HaMor is a Dati Umi place that is wild. It broke off from Merkas HaRav in a very strong way. Rav Tau tells a ma'is in one of his farm, and Tadik ben Menasseh Yechia, I think, that one of his a guy was came to see the cook and said, "I want to learn the Merkas HaRav Kolel, but I'll deny that I won't get paid for it because I want to be somech on the Rambam Shita. I don't want to get paid for it." And the Tzvi Huda said, "I will not allow you in the Kolel. The only way I'll allow you is if you take money." Why? Because he thought that sometimes a guy like that, I guess his read on it was, but the reason why he didn't want to take money wasn't because he was someone who was such a Rambam person, because he wasn't sufficiently machshav what it meant to learn Torah. He wasn't sufficiently machshav what it meant to learn. I would add an additional thing, which is when you pay people, it definitely breeds a certain kind of accountability. When a person's not being paid, so when they miss, they feel like, whatever. When a person's being paid, so now you're dealing with gezeila and dealing with a certain kind of integrity, gets questioned as a result. So Rav Rambam really holds the person should not get paid for a lot of these things. And the question becomes, so what do we do? So Rav Moshe here is very, very clear. Moshe is clear, based on the Ramah and others, that he thinks it is totally, totally fine. Moshe, it was already like this in the past, but undoubtedly nowadays, all the more so, we have to be willing to, people have to take money for these things. We don't have the nusim tikkanios, he writes, that are willing to suffer the abject poverty that comes with, well, yesterday, that poverty is not a Jewish value, to be able to do this. And vivada yesh l'shem adam l'sgals v'lo mar shehu yachalash v'shmalach l'hachim b'torah. No one should say, you know, like, it'll all be good. L'chein, says Moshe as follows. Lo yala mashavascha eitzas hayetzer hara. Sheish bekabalos pras de lomdim bekolim and pras de rabbanim and malanim v'shashiva ezechet v'chisarim midas achasidus. Says with Moshe, don't, the Yitzhahara is going to try to convince you that you dafka shouldn't take money for this. It's just not true at all. Hurak lahasis lifros minat Torah. Says with Moshe, we need people to support Talmud Torah, people that want to dedicate their lives, called kulot to Torah. Hine matov umanayim, we should not be chosen for the Rambam Shita. We should totally be good to go. Just to accept money, you want to learn Torah, you want to be Reshiva, you want to be Rebbe long term. So that's totally fine, and do not at all feel bad about it. And I don't know if I feel bad about it, so I'm kind of the words of Rav Moshe. Comes along Rav Moshe, Nigger's Moshe in Yerodea Gimel. That's as far as an ideal. A pure Torah Hashkafa and a pure Torah Hashkafa, which in many ways is not going to be influenced by the outside world. And even some like these newer manuscripts introducing these kinds of newer broader Hashkafas. Rav Moshe is not at all as open to. What about when it comes to actual chinuch? So what can a person read and what can't a person read? This is a major question. It's a major question in America especially because there's a lot of freedom. There's a lot of freedom of expression, free press, there's a lot to read. And it becomes a question, so what can I read and what can't I read? So Rav Moshe, and this came up a lot in when it comes to elementary schools and high schools, and part of the gals of Rav Moshe is that Rav Moshe's tshuvas sometimes reflect the reality which he perceived as ideal. A person could learn Torah, it's great. And sometimes it reflects, what do I do in situations where the government has certain demands? What do I do in certain situations where I'm dealing with a clientele that's not as frum? So Rav Moshe, talking about can I have co-ed classes, is talking about there's the ideal, and then there's the reality, and how mega can I be in the reality? For Mechitza, there's the ideal, and then there's the reality. how makel can I be in the reality? Sometimes I can't be that makel, sometimes I can be much more makel. But I got to be able to figure out always in kinds of the reality. So in your day at Gimel, I am Gimel. So Moshe here has a tshuva, which is very important. Specifically, Mudechol, what do you do? This is like my kids have this. You know, they have my kids' science books, I think, are terrible, probably. And one of the reasons why, at least Chaim, is because like they need to find a science book that only, I didn't say terrible, it's just not ideal. Because they have to find a science book where all women are dressed appropriately and there's nothing that's like remotely, you know, problematic about it, which is wonderful, holy, and great. Happens to be the kinds of science books that have women who are, or don't have any pictures of women probably in it. I don't know, I haven't looked at the science book ever, but because I'm not a great father. I mean, hopefully I have another voice. But you know, sometimes you have what kinds of books can I use, what kinds of books can't I use? So Moshe writes, you have books that describe the creation of the world in ways that are not Torah then. But you can't learn them. That's called apikoros, it's called heresy. And make sure your teachers in your schools are not teaching your kids from works that are heretical. That is different than my upbringing. We learn, I remember, 9th grade. You have machlokes in terms of what's a stira between what's called kfira bebriyas ha'olam, but I remember at times, you know, coming across a book in a class where the book said something more problematic. So I remember once when I was a freshman, the teacher's not there anymore, when I was a freshman in high school, teacher, there were some things in the book that were more problematic, to the great credit of the teacher. So the teacher learned that. The next day, the teacher brought in Rabbi Jackler, came into class and taught that science class to tell us what like the Torah perspective was on that particular issue. But that was after seeing something that was more, which Moshe would say, you shouldn't really see it even in the first place. And he says, you know, even though we can't control, he goes on to say, we can't control in our schools the way that all women dress, certainly the female teachers that come to our schools, we should be very, very clear that they should dress a certain kind of way. But for Moshe, limudei chol, certainly limudei chol, that's based on kfira, you have to be very, very careful with. In your day of Gimel Beis Kufyat Aleph, so Moshe there is a tshuva to Rabbi Yehuda Parnas. We wrote to Rabbi Parnas about a lot of background to this tshuva, I think. And Moshe writes, look in the underlined section, it's true that there is some flexibility for people, based on the Meiri, to understand more secular things, understand certain things that are more borderline or getting much more problematic. But says Moshe, Akol Panim Hadin Emes L'Havin L'Horos Laka Iser. Certain times there are certain things in Mutter. Al Mitzan Heter Zeh In L'Havter El L'Gedoli Hador B'Tor V'Yer Samayim V'Lo Stam Be'Adam. Says Moshe, even when I'm comfortable expanding who can read certain things and what kinds of works we'd be exposed to, should Moshe understand that should only really be L'Gedoli Hador. People who are really of a certain level. Not everyone necessarily say, like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. The way that some say, you know, when the Mishnah says in Kikyavo, so Dom Malahashiv La'api Kores, so that doesn't necessarily mean that every person has to know and be able to respond to the Apikoros. That means that certain people have to be able to do it. So Moshe, not every guy is necessarily able to do this. Rosenzweig once had a similar insight about something else. Mel Gibson put out a movie called The Passion of... Exactly. So that was a movie which... I believe they spoke Aramaic in the movie. Is that possible? Anyone here familiar with this? Never seen movies. Or that's just not that one. So it was a movie related to, I believe, the formation of Christianity and the role of the Jews in what happened to Jesus and the like. So there was a big discussion at the time, should people, you know, seeing it or not seeing it. One friend of mine saw it and I think said that it was just like, it was enjoyable because they were talking Aramaic. And if you learn enough Gemara, you're like, whoa, I don't need the subtitles. You know, like, that is amazing. And then you're like, but the content, you know, is very good. There are Rosenzweig saying, someone asked Rosenzweig in one of these question answer things, like, Dama Lahasha Lapikores, is it important that we see the movie as far as Dama Lahasha, just to like, to know what's out to be able to respond. So Rosenzweig said at the time that he thinks that there's no. He thinks there are particular people that probably do have to see it. Dr. David Berger, who's an expert in like Jewish-Christian relations, who's a professor in YU and deals a lot through the OU, through the RCA, I forget exactly, through a variety of Jewish organizations with Jewish-Christian outreach and things like that, and is a person who's very much involved in that. So Dr. Berger, it could be that he Dafka has to see it. It's his area of expertise. He has to know these things. But for the average guy in the street, like Dom Alahashev, doesn't apply to everything. And Moshe is saying a similar thing here. Now, certainly, in some of the early editions, which we're not going to figure out right now, of the Torah Umada Journal, you did have some people that challenged the elements of this. You know, is it ever okay to learn something that goes against Yud Gimel Ikrim? Is it ever okay to read some things that are more problematic in a certain kind of context? Those are important discussions. Moshe is very, very clear. and probably the more standard approach as far as how things should be done, which for Moshe, by the way, is important also. Because once Moshe says this, what you really have done is you've mitigated certain rayas. When you have discussions about learning secular studies, so one of the questions is, well, are there gedolim who learn secular studies? The answer is yes, that there are gedolim who are aware of secular disciplines. Part of the discussion, though, is how much that establishes a precedent. In certain worlds, the worlds that we come from, that undoubtedly does establish, again, the Rambam engaging in certain kinds of philosophy is a model for us that people can engage in certain kinds of secular discipline. In other worlds, and this Rav Elchanan will say, Al Tiberius HaDoros, you can't bring riots anymore. Rav Elchanan writes in Kovitz Yerim Chil Beis, I think, that because of Tiberius HaDoros, you can't bring riots in certain kinds of people. Rav Moshe is going to say, don't bring riots in certain kinds of people because they are Gedolim, and Gedolim have certain responsibilities to be able to engage in certain kinds of things, but the rest of us just don't have that pressure of Lahav and Ulahoros, not necessarily as critical for many of us to be able to do so. I want to issue a point of to qualify something which I think is very, very chashuv here. On the one hand, we see Rav Moshe as a person that's a pure Torah Hashkafa kind of person. Even manuscripts of certain Rishonim or things we have in Ramban and Chumash or Rashbam and Chumash, Rav Moshe at times is comfortable saying, you know what, like, we're not, let's take it out a little bit. That is something which many are not as comfortable with. No, these are Gedolei HaRishonim, these are good manuscripts, these Rishonim did say these things, and therefore be more cautious. We're not taking out sections of Rashbam. I spoke about, I think, once in a Monday night share, certain sections of Rashbam with the Machlokes, him and the Ibn Ezra. We're not taking out certain lines from a Ramban and saying it's Toas Sofer. We're not doing those things. Rishonim are Rishonim. We don't have to pretend like everyone agreed about all things. It's like the more you learn sometimes, the more you realize Chazal were not always uniform on all topics. Did Chazal think you have to learn Torah all day as a chiv of Talmud Torah? The answer is, well, there are different Ma'amari Chazal that give you different indications for what they have to do. And to be aware of a certain range, that's one thing. For Moshe, so that's true, there's a certain range that are very, very clear. Torah, Hashkafa, Yigimel, Ik, you know, there's certain things that are very, very clear. What's considered to be appropriate and what's less appropriate for Rav Moshe. And for Rav Moshe, that means the secular studies, they want to be more cautious about taking in Divrei Kfira, reading Divrei Kfira. Maybe there are certain Gedolim that have to expose themselves to these things, be able to do it, but it's Rav Moshe. But you still want to have your Torah Hashkafa be a pure Torah Hashkafa. Rav Moshe thinks it's in source number 3 on the sheet. All these are in Yerodea, actually, like the Torah and the like. Rav Moshe here in Yerodea, Gimel Pei Gimel, talks about to Rav Moshe Sher, who's a manal of the head of the Aguda in America, about a his orus b'Argentina that Moshe Sher pushed that in Argentina they should dafka have limudei kodesh first in the day and limudei chol afterwards. That was a strong push, and Rav Moshe likes that to show the chashivas. Rav Moshe thinks that even a binyan that is built only for limudei kodesh, you can bring in limudei chol because the other option is. I'd rather have a yeshiva, even though it's built originally, I'd rather have secular studies there also, because I don't want the kids going to public school. I want the kids to be able to learn. So Rav Moshe is very, very pure like that. None of this means, though, and here's where it gets important and part of the gauze of Moshe. Rav Moshe is not a person that views like all doctors a suspect. Rav Moshe is not a person that didn't consult with medical professionals. Rav Moshe is not a person that didn't trust at all medical science. And source number 6, it's part of a much longer article. Dr. Chaim Waxman, who is Waxman's father, but it actually does not matter for right now, because being a Waxman's father is a wonderful thing. It does not necessarily give you expertise in any topic that relates to us. However, his father, Baruch Hashem, does have expertise. His father is a very well-known sociologist. And for whatever it's worth, a fantastic human being. So Dr. Waxman here, this is his most recent book. Came out, I think, earlier this year. I just lose track of the years. Social Change and Halachic Evolution in American Orthodoxy. He is a sociologist. He writes about a lot of his sociology, especially as his career developed, was focused in the firm world. Trends going on in the firm world. And he's writing about the way that post can function. So he has an article, one of the chapters in the book, which is primarily a chapter where he explores the way that Rav Moshe's Psakim. Rav Moshe's Psakim, how that relates to some other post-kim and things like that. So one thing that he points out about Rav Moshe, And he quotes a lot of tshuvas to sort of develop this idea that Rabbi Feinstein's condemnation of doctors who engage in heart transplants was not reflective of his general attitude toward physicians and the medical sciences. On the contrary, his response indicated his high regard for both, and he frequently consulted medical professionals on related halachic matters. Moshe is not a person who is pure Torah and thinks that all doctors are evil, all doctors lie, all doctors can't be trusted, the whole medical science thing is all a sham and it's all a joke. It's not true at all. Moshe is a person who is very much respectful and aware of doctors. Rav Moshe's tshuvas often reflect an awareness of current medical practice, what is doable, what's not doable. Rav Moshe at times, as Dr. Waxman points out, Rav Moshe will invoke that nature has changed and people have changed and certain things have developed. Certain people could get pregnant in certain ways and certain things will not get much of a problem. Rav Moshe is a person who's aware of the medical and very respectful of that. He consults. We sometimes give Rav Shlomo Zalman gets a lot of credit for that. Rav Shlomo Zalman gets a lot of credit for consulting with medical professionals and consulting with scientists and engineers and things like that. So Rav Moshe also consulted with doctors. Rav Moshe is a person who very much respected that. Much as he thought that, the pure Torah, as far as halacha, is the way to go, it doesn't mean that the pure Torah doesn't have to relate to Metzias and there are not good, trustworthy people out there who are able to give Rav Moshe some wonderful insights to be able to base it off of. What we try to do today is to get some general insight into Rav Moshe's hashkafa, the role of Torah and pure Torah, the way that impacted some of his psakim, the way that Rav Moshe was able to relate to things. We should know a lot of these tshuvas, again, are subjects to machloksim and get quoted a lot. That tshuva Rav Moshe opened up with, how all of my psakim are from pure Torah hashkafas, is a tshuva that in conversations sometimes and in certain articles get quoted when they want to critique people. You have a guy that has a tshuva where it sounds like his tshuva is not so halachic. It's really just stam his hashkafa that's impacting his tshuva. So the person will respond with, remember the charge of Rav Moshe, you want to have your psakim be pure Torah psakim. And Rav Moshe here, about the manuscripts, Rav Moshe here, about exposure to Limudei Chol, Rav Moshe, that's all very, very important. Much as Rav Moshe was not arguing people should go get doctorates, we do have to remind ourselves of the tshuva of Rav Moshe, which we quoted in the past year about cheating on tests, the region, things like that. Rav Moshe thought that high schools, he said, I heard that the yeshivas, that were giving out the answers to the regents exams. I told this myself when I was in high school or no? I can't save this for it's my whole setting. When I was in high school, there was a certain AP exam where it was known that one, there was a high school, not the high school I went to, in New York area where the teacher gave out the essay questions the night before for all the kids to know. That's totally just usser. I don't know what to do about that. It's terrible. But that's the kind of thing. The fact that there are certain disciplines, which Moshe thought, person doesn't need to do these things, but once you're doing them, you have to do them with integrity. You can't cheat. That Rav Moshe thought is not just Gnevas Das, it's Gzeila Mamish, you'll get a better job because you did better on your tests and things like that. So there's definitely a lot to be aware of as far as integrity. The fact that a person is not mach of a certain realm as being the most chashuv thing in the world doesn't mean that a person can cut corners or cheat in that realm at all. That's all part of Rav Moshe. Hopefully this was helpful, at least for getting a certain kind of appreciation for Rav Moshe and for his Mahalach HaChaim as far as the primacy of Torah, the purity of Torah, and the desire to have that be pure. It doesn't mean that people did not attack Rav Moshe. People had Rav Moshe from all different angles. As part of his godless, as one of the great thinkers. If you're not relevant, you can write a book, and no one cares, and no one's going to argue with you. Part of the godless of Moshe is everything he writes is a shita. He's the gadol ador in America. He's the greatest posek in America in the second half of the 20th century. He's the person that's... I'm not taking sides about this person or that person. Rav Moshe is the one who is a dominant posek. And Rav Moshe is the one that people are working with his Sfarim to be able to understand how we relate to new issues, how we relate to Chinuch, and things like that. Shkayach, guys. Have a wonderful Shabbos.